Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What are you doing, Wagner?
We're doing what we always do. Looking at the nexus of sports and fats. And just whatever's going on. And this one is perfect. This one is just perfect. Welcome back. Steve Rosenblum and Rick Camp. He's in for Mark Rohde. Rick Camp, of course, the co-founder, co-host, co-eater on the I'm Fat podcast, as well as host here on the Bulls postgame show. And in this one, Rick, you will join me in loving this. I have a new college baseball favorite, baseball team,
okay.
The University of Virginia. And my favorite player is a guy named Steven Schock. He is their closer, and he's pretty much Rod Beck. If you remember Shooter, the old Cubs closer, this guy's got the long hair streaming out of the back of his cap. He's got the beard. He's got a K-strut, a strikeout strut, and he's the kind of guy who throws his glove into the stands after they win a game in advance. They play tonight. They begin the super sectional tonight. But this, after a recent save, he was on a post game show, and I need you to listen to this and then give me your opinion of the product in question.
Walk into a stadium, 8,000 people, they all want you to lose, but as long as you got your 26 guys ready to kick butt, you're gonna be all right. Sorry, I swear.
You're good, man. Let's go back to that last inning, ninth inning. What are the emotions like entering that inning?
Well, emotions are go in, win. I heard a fan offer free Dippin' Dots if I blew it, which the price of Dippin' Dots with inflation is just unreal. So for a brief moment, I was like, damn, Dippin' Dots sound good. But also, I thought in the back of my head, we win today, we win tomorrow, or tonight. We're going to be here another day. That's more per diem. So that means I can buy my own Dippin' Dots and be a winner. So it's like, you know, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to attack.
That is a man after my own cholesterol-filled heart. There's multi levels there. There is just like he has the closer mentality, so you appreciate that outside of the fatness. There is someone acknowledging that maybe he would be willing to blow this game for Dippin' Dots. The knowledge of the pricing of the Dippin' Dots, which I 100% agree, is just outrageous. By the way, there's at 7-Elevens, I have seen, so I don't remember the name of it, but it's like not Dippin' Dots, essentially. It's like the same thing, but different branding. So I find that interesting. It's the first time I've seen it anywhere outside of like a ball game or a fair or something like that. That is really interesting. So, and the fact that he considered it gets my ultimate respect.
There was this just reminded me, there was the place that I worked at the summer between my high school and college was is basically like an amusement park, but they had Dippin' Dots, and the key was to get friendly with the people that handed out the Dippin' Dots, because they would just give it to you for free, and that was amazing. Oh. That was a great summer. I ate a lot of Dippin' Dots that summer.
There you go. I became acquainted with Dippin' Dots when a Dippin' Dots truck was rolled into the Ritz-Carlton for a bar mitzvah to which I was invited. That was the start of the dessert parade, but there's the whole Dippin' Dots cart being rolled in going, I can get used to this. So anyways, that's Stephen Schock of the University of Virginia. I think we have a rooting interest now in the College World Series. Rick, you agree? You're good with me on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, nothing can be more boring than Virginia basketball, so I might as well root for Virginia baseball. So
right.
I am 100% here for that.
And is he going to be in the Tournament of Fat next year? Because I feel like he's worthy of at least a play-in spot.
I will. I'll let some tea spill here. A lot of time how this works. If I remember, sure. If I don't, which is very likely, then possibly not.
You have to set a reminder for next year at some point.
Dude, every year, Jay and I, like after March Fatness is done, we're like, oh, we forgot this, we forgot this, we forgot this. We're like, yeah, this upcoming year, you know what I'm going to do in my phone? I'm just going to have a note. Like in the notes app, just like, okay, just mark things down throughout the year so that I don't forget them. And then you know what I do in like 3 weeks? Forget.
Forget to put it into your phone.
Because I'm smart.
We often check the national day calendar, national whatever kind of day it is. So, like, for instance, in some places, this is National Thesaurus Day, which always brings up the question of what's another word for thesaurus. But this is also National Jerky Day and National Peanut Butter Cookie Day. We'd like your opinion on those, Rick.
Well, you can keep the peanut butter cookies because peanut butter is disgusting.
See, yeah, I don't know if you knew this, Steve. Rick Camp is not a fan of peanut butter.
Peanut butter is gross. And this is not a bit either. This is me legitimately. I hate the taste of peanut butter almost as much as I hate the smell of peanut butter. So, like, it's really. So, here's a story that my senior year of high school, like, I'm hanging out with my girlfriend, and we end up kissing, and she didn't tell me she got new chapstick. It was like Reese's peanut butter cup chapstick because we're in high school. And I pushed myself away and was like, what was that? And she was like, oh, I got this new chapstick. Like, I guess she didn't know at that point that I didn't like peanut butter. And I was like, if you want to do this right now, you got to wipe that off your face because I can't push through peanut butter flavored chapstick.
Okay.
Wow. I have a tough rule.
So how do you get... There's such thing as peanut butter. What was it? Reese's peanut butter cup flavored chapstick. That was a thing.
It was. Now, mind you, this was like 2000, fall of 03, I think. So this was a minute ago.
That's incredible. I've never heard of legitimate candy flavored chapstick. I've also never dove in much past like the just generic flavored chapstick.
Well, yeah, I assume this was at like Claire's or something because high school girls, like that's making a generality. A lot of times Claire's is involved. So that's my guess for that period of time. But I was so caught off guard that like I felt bad for my reaction, but it was one of those where I was like, oh, like I've just being that revolted like that quickly was surprising to me.
And so it's a wonder why that relationship didn't last, huh?
Hey. Some things are unavoidable.
That's right. So, okay, how about jerky?
Love jerky. Actually, a guy who spent some time at the Score, Steven Johnson, he was one of the Score fantasy football experts, works at a place that sells a bunch of jerky out in Elgin. So I would, and he's very good on fantasy sports, so I would look him up. But love beef jerky. Whenever I go for it, because I'm lazy and I don't really want to look for different places necessarily, like, you can get me the Jack Links. I'm here for Bridgeford. Like, but always the peppered. I'm here for peppered beef jerky. Like, that flavor. Like, the teriyaki is okay. You know, your barbecue. Even, it's kind of weird. For beef jerky, I'm not as big of a fan of barbecue. But peppered beef jerky is where it's at.
Okay. All right. Glad you weighed in on that.
There is a real quick. Sorry to interrupt. There is. I don't know how often either of you go to Costco, but the jerky that they have there is Korean barbecue beef jerky. Actually, it might be. It might not even be beef. It might be like turkey jerky or something like that. It doesn't matter. It's
I know.
I'm talking to the wrong guy here, but I promise it's delicious.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. The thin guy's telling you what's delicious. I'm not sorry. You got no credibility, Trash
right.
Panda. It's just not working.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I know my food.
I mean, to be fair, fat is a mindset and a lifestyle as much as it is a literal body size. So like I respect some people that will work out some so that they can eat as much as they want and basically not have to look like me. I respect that.
I'm not saying that was my primary motivation for all my marathons, but it was one of them.
Well, running a marathon is kind of dumb.
Inherently stupid, yes.
It really is. Like, credit to people that are able to do it. By the way, how funny is it that in the last two marathons that the score is broadcast, I have been an on-site reporter.
Yes. Well, I love the
known running expert, Rick Kemp.
And that is the I'm Fat podcast has grown as we approach 100 episodes. The I'm Fat podcast has merch. And I proudly wear the I'm Fat podcast shirt that says the t-shirt that you sent me that has all the French fries on it. The Holy Grail is the marathon shirt. The 0.0 shirt. That is the merch of a lifetime. I commend that idea. I love that.
I really wish I could claim coming up with that, but that was a Jay Zawoski original. But just in case people are interested,
yes,
like on the I'm Fat Podcast Twitter page at I'm Fat Pod, we have a Linktree link that like gets you to all of our different stuff. Click on the TeePublic one. We have, what is it now, 9 different designs that you can get. I already know that the first time I go to a Sox game, the next time I should say I go to a Sox game, I will be wearing my Fat Guy Summer t-shirt. Because, you know, sure, you hear hot girl summer and all this stuff. What about fat guys? Because, you know,
yeah,
if there's one group that's always, you know, excluded, it's guys.
Does it come with air conditioning, Rick? Because a fat guy summer seems to require that kind of accoutrement.
Fair. What I recommend, and this may be something that I have in my car right now, is I have the old sweat rag. So, you know, you just swap that out every few days because, hey, it's going to be warm. So, it's something that it's just a requirement. But, yeah, a couple of the options we have. The newest one is we have the Proud Mother of a Fat shirt or mug or whatever logo that we have. I appreciate that one. And I wear my Onion Ring of Honor t-shirt proudly with definitely not Andy Reid for copyright purposes, with holding pizza in one hand, bacon in another, and with 1 foot on top of an air conditioner.
I think that's terrific, and definitely definitely not Andy Reid. Definitely not Andy Reid.
No, I mean, the hat doesn't say KC. It says fat on it, so
right,
totally different.
All right, 40 years ago today, Raiders of the Lost Ark was released. And the several notes, thanks to Carl Quintanilla of CNBC, he's just brilliant when it comes to this. But the movie was originally called The Adventures of Indiana Smith. Spielberg, it was
almost as generic as Jones.
Yes, right. But Spielberg later said Jones sounded more natural to the character. George Lucas was working on this thing in 1973. And it took 7 years for it to come out. So we always go through this with movies. If we're lucky to find all this, find out the other players in the screen being considered. There was more than just someone other than Harrison Ford being considered. It was originally scheduled to star somebody else as Indiana Jones. Any idea who? Going back to 1979-80, movie was made, movie was released. Any thoughts?
Huh, well, neither of us were, you know, between Studs
and
I, we weren't alive.
You studied presidents of the United States, you weren't alive then either, okay? Don't Don't give me that crap.
I hate snake sucked. I hate him.
Yeah. Actually, Harrison Ford loves snakes, by the way. So he loved that scene.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And we know
he
loves planes, too. So, you know, that's another option he could have gone with.
He's not as good with that. Well, we're going to flip all the cards. Originally slated to play Indiana, but rejected the offer due to obligations on Magnum PI, was Tom Selleck.
I was sitting here trying to think of the guy's name. Like, I knew who it was. I could picture like his mustache, and I couldn't think of his damn name. Like, I knew that.
Oh,
damn it.
Well, damn it. Sorry, you didn't buzz in. You don't get the Jeopardy points. So that boulder, the famous boulder chase.
Mm-hmm.
The boulder was made of 300 pounds of plaster, wood, fiberglass, but that was really Harrison Ford. That was not a stuntman. And he not only shot it, he not only did it, it was from five different camera angles at two times each. Spielberg later said, "I was lucky and I was an idiot for letting him try to do that."
Why would you let any human do that?
Why would you want to run like that?
So many questions.
It's all acting. It's method acting is the real thing.
This is why I couldn't be an actor.
This is reminding me of The Simpsons when they're like, they have Radioactive Man tied to this large pole and they're supposed to be filming a movie and they're going to throw this huge vat of acid through this valley. And the director right before they take goes, "All right, now that's real acid. So I want to have goggles, people."
Yeah,
it's good. And Radioactive Man puts on his goggles and he's getting dragged away. The goggles do nothing.
So Indiana Jones was famous for the bullwhip.
Yeah.
Spielberg apparently always imagined Indiana Jones with a bullwhip. And Harrison Ford pulled it off pretty good. But it took a while to get his wrist in shape. Because he, in his early Hollywood days, he earned money as a carpenter. And he injured his wrist in a fall off a ladder while doing something at Valerie Harper's house. He was fixing something as a carpenter at Rhoda's house when the bullwhip snapping Indiana Jones hurt his wrist. I had never heard that story before, or that part of it. So you remember Salah? John Rhys Davies was the actor, Salah?
Yeah.
Helping Indy?
Yes.
Do you know who was originally offered the part? Don't hold back now, Trash Panda.
No, I actually don't know this one.
Danny DeVito.
No way!
Way!
That's amazing!
Way! Way! All right, the most famous scene in the movie is what?
In which movie?
In India.
We're talking about the first one. Duh. Okay. Yeah. My bad.
What's the most famous? Well, in all of them, arguably, this is the most famous scene in all of them.
When the Nazis get their faces melted by the Ark?
Yep. That's it. So Tote's head was made of a multi-layered compound of gelatin and then shot in time-lapse as it was melted by a dryer. I just love the idea. They're holding it as a dryer and as a time lapse, and then that's how they made the Nazi faces melt. I just think that's great. I love learning all that stuff.
That's fantastic.
Was 40 years ago. And then 39 years ago this week, E.T. was released. I still get choked up at the end of that. What do you mean?
I'm not a big... I think when I first saw it, E.T. creeped me out. So then I never really went back to it.
I'm the same way, but I've since...
Why? Wait, why did it creep you out?
I don't know. Weird looking.
Just I'll say, for some reason, the general vibe of the movie gives me, like, creepy feelings. I don't know why. Like, it just weirds me out. But I will say, having since gone back and watched the ending, really, the last half an hour is all you need to see. Because I agree with Steve, it's a tearjerker every single time.
Yeah, see, I haven't gone back to it in, you know, probably a good 15 years. Like, since my littlest brother was, like, small enough and watching it for the first time. I haven't seen it in forever. So maybe I'll, like, queue up the last half hour and I'll reassess. But yeah, on the whole, E.T., like, I'm a sucker for a vast majority of movies from when I was a kid, but like E.T. never did it for me for whatever reason.
Well, I still tear up at it, and I should be used to it by now, but I know it's coming. But then I kind of choke up at every Field of Dreams when Hey Dad, Want to Have a Catch. And
yep.
And that still happens. But here's the thing I didn't realize until all these things lined up like this. So that's 39 years ago. So E.T., Spielberg does E.T., comes out, smash. And then the year before, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Spielberg does that. The year before that, he was coming off 1941, that bomb of a movie. This is a guy who knows how to rally. This is a guy who knows how to come back. Oh, my God. So you're familiar, do you follow the Super 70 Sports Twitter?
Yeah, site? Absolutely. I love that stuff, even though right. It's obviously from before I was born. I think it's cool as hell what that account does.
Ricky Cobb, a local guy, my friend Bogosian at the Tribune wrote about him. Ricky Cobb started the site, and it's been going. Here's how you've reached a certain level of phenomenal. He tweeted out a picture of Rod Carew in a Twins uniform. And the caption said, every photo of Rod Carew swinging looks like it was a hit. So that tweet was retweeted with a quote from Rod Carew that says, it was, comma, left field.
That's good.
That's accomplishing something. That's how you get there.
It really is.
Now that since we're discussing movies, are you Star Wars fans? I'm not sure what you guys like anymore.
I have never been a Star Wars. It never did it for me. I saw the original one, and I've seen episode one, and that was only because they needed, like, the people we were with at the time, my family, needed to get, like, the kids out of the house. They're like, it was like almost like the Arrested Development scene of, here's some money, go see a Star Wars. Like, that's pretty much what this was. So, I don't know. I am one of the very few that Star Wars just didn't hit.
I'm a big yes on this one. It's honestly, Star Wars is in my top two or three things that I nerd out really hard about. Like, I'm obsessed with Star Wars.
Okay. Whether you're obsessed with Star Wars or don't care for it, Mark Hamill is one of the great Twitter follows going. A woman named Carol Bianchi, who's just a normal follower on Twitter, she got a spot on Twitter, she sends out a message to his Mark Hamill's to at Hamill himself, and her tweet says, to be honest, at Hamill himself could tweet anything, and that's all caps, and he would still get thousands of likes. I mean, totally anything. Bang, 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 laughing face emoji. So Mark Hamill tweeted out, all caps, just the word anything, and it got 126,000 likes.
Boy, that's a flex. That's good.
Not to brag or anything, guys, but Mark Hamill's liked my replies on his tweets multiple times.
Look at you. Look at you. Yeah, you humble brag there.
Humble brag. Luke Skywalker liked my tweets. No big deal.
Okay, we have more to we have more to discuss on What Are You Doing, Wagner, including some I'm Fat podcast news, and I got a dish for the I'm Fat podcast to rate, and some baseball players who had trouble with the basic rules of the game. So we'll get back to more of this.
I actually have a baseball note too for it. I don't know how believable it is, but I have a baseball note.
Well, we'll come back with that. That we call in Dave Wonstead's business a tease, people. He's Rick Camp. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Saturday Suckage, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All around, prepare to meet Kali in hell.
Welcome back to What Are You Doing, Wegner? Part two, part of Saturday Suckage. Rick Camp in for Mark Brody. Steve Rosenblum here, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. So, White Sox fans, you'll be interested to know, there was a, as long as we're doing show anniversaries, the anniversary of the 14th anniversary of the Sopranos finale. And White Sox fans would know what's very significant about that. And it almost didn't happen, as Steve Perry relates this story that he didn't want to sign off on that song, Don't Stop Believin', being used.
I kind of held out. The reason I held out was I really didn't want to see a Scorsese moment where everybody gets whacked with this song playing. You know, Scorsese would do that, right? He plays these amazing songs while everybody's getting mowed down. So there was rumor that somebody in the Soprano family was going to get it, you know. And I didn't know because David Chase wasn't talking. And so I told the girl who does my sub-licensing that unless I get a little bit more information, I really don't feel comfortable saying go ahead. So I held out. And I held out for weeks. And come Thursday before the airing on Sunday, they finally called at 4:30 California time and said, okay, this is what happens, but he has to swear he won't tell nobody. So, and I don't care, I won't, I promise, you know. So, they told me what happened. They told me the whole thing, the dialing, looking at the, putting the quarter in, the whole thing. They did not tell me it goes to black. They didn't tell me that. That's okay. At least nobody got whacked. But, you know, I loved the way it was used. I really did. Because what happened was, Tony Soprano, he sits here and he goes, he thumbs through this little jukebox by the table, and I think it's a heart song. And then it goes and it says, oh, it's a Journey song. And then you see a Tony Bennett song. And then they cut back
to him. Well, you paid very close attention.
Right? Yeah. Right? Then it cuts back to him tight, and he reaches his pocket, and he gets a quarter, and they cut to the machine, he pops it in, he pushes a couple of numbers, and they cut back to him, and he's just looking around. All of a sudden, Don't Stop Believin' starts. And what it says is, oh, my God, he loves Journey. he just passed on Tony Bennett. Yeah.
That's Steve Perry talking about Don't Stop Believing Him. SiriusXM, he was talking to Katie Couric, who was there. I had heard that story. White Sox fan, see? He got him to sign off on that.
Can I give you a Sopranos note that I learned recently?
Yes.
Okay.
Certainly.
This was, I'll ask the question, and then after I'll say where I heard it. Do you know the context of the last time James Gandolfini and Edie Falco were in character in a scene together?
So scenes being shot out of order. So the last scene they shot together.
This was not technically on the show. This was after the show wrapped. So it was essentially they both agreed to reprise their role for something very specific. Not necessarily show related.
I have no idea. Share with the class, Rick.
It was the New York Knicks pitch video to LeBron James in the summer of 2010.
Was it really?
Yeah. So The Athletic put out an 8-part podcast essentially on the James Dolan years. And it's called Shattered. Chuck D does the narration for it. It's really well done.
Oh, yeah.
And they have an entire episode dedicated to the summer of LeBron and how they got to the point where they could maybe get him and another star and all that kind of thing. And they went into detail about the pitch video, and Edie Falco was in for doing it. And I guess Gandolfini was such a big Knicks fan that he was in. And Edie pretty much said, well, I mean, shoot, if you can get James to do it, I'll do it. And Gandolfini agreed to do it. So that was the last time they were ever in character together in front of a camera, was to try and get LeBron James to join the Knicks.
Wow, that's good knowledge. That's dropping stuff there. I had no idea. All right,
I had to provide something.
Yes, you did. I do recall you having a baseball nugget that you wanted to share in the What Are You Doing Wegner segment of our show.
Well, it fits perfect for this show because I'm like 99% sure, and by 99, I mean 100% sure this is not real. However, I find it funny that Suspettus Family Barbecue on Twitter tweeted out that yesterday Shohei Ohtani became the first player since 1836 to throw a 99-mile-an-hour pitch, hit a 114-plus-mile-an-hour ball, and in terms of exit velocity, and balk twice in an inning since, Goggles McFlurry was the name they gave out.
Wait, is that a real player's name, or is that a new product at McDonald's?
Well, Google said that this isn't real. However, I don't care because A, the name is funny, and B, it hits at one of my things that annoys me the most is when you get, well, this person is the first to do these 6 or 7 different categories together. They're the first to ever have, like, they do this ton in basketball, like 25 points, 15 assists, 3 rebounds, and 2 steals on the second Thursday of the month. And it's like, okay, what does this actually mean? So I just love that this pokes fun at that because, you know, StatCast in 1836 was really great. To be able to get all these numbers.
Yes, it was. Well, one of the notes that came out, 9-plus stolen bases and 60-plus strikeouts as a pitcher in a single season. So this is all Shohei Ohtani in 2021, 2018, and 1901, Nixie Callahan. Those kind of things. That's what you're talking about. But what about this? What about a high OPS in among regular season players to appear in 10-plus games at four different positions? How you fix for that? For all those caveats?
What was it?
OPS. Highest yeah. OPS.
Okay.
In a single season among players who appeared in at least 10 games at four different positions.
That is so random.
Yes. But on the top of the list is Stan Musial in 1950. First base and all three outfield positions at 1.034. And this was brought up recently because Chris Bryant this week was at 991, which would have put him fourth at first base, third base, left field, right field, and now center field. But he hasn't played 10 games, but he played it the other day, or started the other day. And third on this list is Pedro Guerrero. First base, third base, left field, and center field. And it always catches my eye when they have Guerrero playing a lot of different positions. He was a fearsome hitter, but the Dodgers kept trying to hide him because he was a horrible fielder. Whether it was at third or first or left field or right field, whatever it was. And the story goes, one time Lasorda has a team meeting and he's talking about getting ready for a game, playing defense, getting ready to play defense. And he points at Guerrero. Pete, you're playing third base. What are you thinking as the batter gets ready? And Guerrero says, don't hit the ball to me. And then Lasorda says, all right, what are you thinking next? And Guerrero says, don't hit the ball to Sacks.
That's really good.
Yeah, it is.
Don't hit the ball to me, the Eloy Jimenez story.
Yeah, there you go. That's it. Don't put him out there. All right, we'll take a break. Thank you for joining us for What Are You Doing, Wagner? We have by request. We are all request radio as Rick Camp. We have Rick Camp rolled down his windows, and he heard something. And so normally we do what Mark heard on this show. Mark Rohde's not here. But now we're going to do what Rick heard. And we'll bring all that back to close out the show. He's Rick Camp. I'm Steve Rosenblum. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Probably listen to a little bit of music.
How did you know? I love this song.
Making my way downtown, walking fast, faces pass, and I'm homebound. And I need you, and I miss you, and now I wonder if I could fall into the sky. Do you think time went past me by? 'Cause you know I'd walk 1,000 miles if I could just
go.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. All right. That's Trash Panda spinning the disc and me interrupting and waiting for to bring you Rick Camp, what Rick heard, because this was quite a thing, and you can imagine the improbability of two names being put next to one another, Rick Camp and...
Well, that was... The scene from the 2004 cinematic classic White Chicks, starring the Wayans brothers, and you heard in that scene Terry Crews with just like belting out the song, you know, belting out 1,000 miles, because yesterday I'm driving home from the station, so I drive out to Lombard, so I'm on Eisenhower, and I drive past a guy with his windows down who looks very similar to me, and so I was caught off guard when the song that you heard after that clip coming back, he is belting Toxic by Britney Spears. So it just made me think of songs that, and maybe this isn't as relevant now because people aren't listening, you know, aren't listening to FM radio necessarily quite as much as they had before, of song that even if it's not in your like musical wheelhouse, when you hear it on the radio or on a playlist or whatever it ends up being, you're belting that song out. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I could see where that would be someone who looks like you, and you're here, and you're doing a double take when Toxic comes on. That's a thing.
You know what? I get it, because especially as someone that was, I can't remember exactly how old I was, but a young boy growing up, the music video for Toxic is one of the greatest videos of all time.
It's useful.
So.
How is it useful? Why don't you two explain? Share with the class.
I'd rather not elaborate
further. How that's useful. How explain how your feckless youth became better with Toxic.
Or use more abbreviated for Studs. But no, it's, like that. I mean, that song's a banger. Don't get me wrong.
It is. But the music video is an all-timer.
It is. So like I was thinking for me, number one of like songs that people probably wouldn't expect when it's on, I am belting that out, is Chandelier by Sia. Every time that's on, I don't care that, you know, it doesn't matter to me to say that, like, in my liked on Spotify, that song is there. I don't care. Like, you can have in my Spotify, if I just hit, like, you know, shuffle on likes, you could go from Stevie Wonder to Parliament to Biggie to Sia. That's something that could happen. It's possible. But, you know, like, that's one of them. Or because I was in middle school at, like, turn of the century, pretty much anything boy band related, whether I want to admit it or not, I probably know at least a verse of some of the songs. So if it's Backstreet, if it's NSYNC, here we go. I'm not singing it, but I know it.
Well, you see, the thing is, I thought about that when you brought this up in the emails, Rick. I was trying to think, like, oh, what would this be for me? And I didn't consider NSYNC and Backstreet Boys or even Britney Spears that because I legitimately listened to them. So at one point, it was in my musical wheelhouse. Maybe not so much now, but it was. Like, yeah, I'm like you. I knew, like, all the NSYNC songs. Like, I had all their albums. I don't know if I got the last one. I can't remember. I might have grown out of it by then. But I had the Backstreet Boy albums. Like, I was on it. But I will say the one that came to mind was, especially when I was in high school, this song was really popular, Grills by Nelly. If you can picture a 16-year-old white kid driving a Chrysler Cirrus and just blasting this song, that was me.
Uh-huh.
That's amazing.
It depends. Now, you're sort of looking at it like, okay, what from the outside, what do I appear to be, right? You're looking at the let's all draw our biases against what you look like, Rick, the I'm fat guy, or Studs looking like, wow, this real, I'm not going to listen to boy band stuff, and here I am. So I would guess if that were the case, I would be belting out Pour Some Sugar on Me. I don't know if that's surprising or not, but that would be.
I mean, maybe not knowing you, knowing you, it's not as surprising. But it's like the mix of what you actually listen to as your norm with what people think. Because like it also applies for me, like people look at me and they're like, this guy loves wrestling and hockey. And it's like 0-2 on that one. But I love the NBA. So figure that one out.
He likes onion rings. Yeah, I would. OK, in that case. But the closet, the cubbyhole it has to be in is whatever might come up on radio. I am willingly, freely, and just unprovoked belting out Be Our Guest. Be Our Guest, Be Our Guest. Put our service to the test. Wrap your napkin round your neck, Cherie, and we'll provide the rest. Soup du jour, hot hors d'oeuvres, why we only live to serve. Try the great stuff, it's delicious. Don't believe me? Ask the dishes. We can sing, we can dance. After all, miss, this is France. And a dinner here is never second best. Go on, unfold your menu, take a glance, and then you'll be our guest. We are guest, be our guest. I will do that.
That's incredible. I'm sending that Tanny right to Tanny right now.
All right, well, I can also do King George from Hamilton.
That's
you say the price of my love is not a price that you're willing to pay.
By the way, that midnight, I know I'm not breaking any news here. The like early to mid 90s for Disney, I don't know that there's a better stretch because there's like individual movies here and there now. And of course, I'm older, so it's a different perspective. But like, it was just hit after hit after hit. And it wasn't necessarily just because of the Disney machine. I mean, that run of movies is pretty incredible.
Yeah, there's at least four all timers. You got Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, Lion King, Toy Story, all within. I can't
five
remember.
Years
yeah, within 5 years or so?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I love Little Mermaid too. I love Sebastian the Crab Under the Sea, but the regret most parents will have, and at least in my wheelhouse, is why do my kids grow up? And then I need another excuse to go see movies, and then you finally realize you don't need another excuse to go see the movies. Go see them. And they're wonderful. They're wonderfully done.
Oh, so. Steve, are you a go to the movie by yourself guy?
No, I don't like doing that. I not even go to the movies. Not even my love of layered buttered popcorn and real Coke. I don't like doing it by myself. I want the company. I want somebody there. Mm-hmm. I want to discuss it. The trailers, the previews, I want all that. Do you guys go to movies by yourself?
I never have, but I'm considering it for In the Heights. I really want to see In the Heights in theater because I feel like it's just going to be that much better there.
Oh yeah.
And I'm considering going by myself just because like I know in the next couple weeks my schedule's crazy, so I have such a narrow window that I'm not even bothering trying to get anybody else to like fit my schedule. So I'm debating doing that by myself.
I have gone to see several movies by myself, but a couple of them were just, you know, how I mentioned earlier, I'm a huge Star Wars fan. So I saw when The Force Awakens came out, I saw that at midnight, the night it came out, naturally. And don't laugh.
No, what were you dressed as? C-3PO
I didn't dress up.
Or R2-D2?
I didn't dress up. I considered dressing up, but I did not.
What would you have dressed up as if you did?
I don't know, a Jedi, I guess. With a lightsaber and a sweet robe. Yeah, I'm super cool. And so, anyway, 3 days later, so I saw it at midnight on a Thursday, and that next Sunday, I'm sitting around on like a Sunday afternoon. This is when I was living in Bloomington, and I was like, I need to go see it again. So I got up off my couch and went to the movie theater like just immediately by myself and saw that alone. But it's not the only one I've seen alone.
No, I like the shared experience, discuss it afterwards, that kind of stuff, just whatever. I can't do that. One time when the Bulls were one of the 97 or 98, we were in Utah for one of the finals. And I do recall I went into a movie theater by myself. I got the buttered popcorn layered and a Coke, and I took it back to my room to write. That's how I spent the afternoon.
Power
I didn't want to
right
see
there.
A movie, but I wanted the popcorn and the Coke. I love that. That's the way it works. All right, Rick, you survived?
Yes.
You helped us promote Suckage. I don't think you'll be back next week because I think you made too much sense, especially talking Bulls. And that's a real shame for us. Real shame for you, but congratulations on surviving 3 hours of suckage. It was great hosting with you.
It was a pleasure. Yeah, we'll go with a pleasure. Yeah, let's do that.
All right. That's Rick Camp. Check out the I'm Fat podcast coming up on 100 episodes. We'll have him back when we discuss that when it reaches it. Steve Rosenblum saying thanks for listening. Trash Panda over there. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It wouldn't have been possible if we weren't here to be told how much we suck. So, kudos to you guys for sucking as bad as we do.
Oh, yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
it.
And Rick Camp in studio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.